right after this service, immediately following this service. And Sister Alicia wanted me to tell you all that she has plenty food. Whether you brought food or not, there is plenty, plenty food. So she wants you to all come over immediately following service to celebrate our pastor's birthday. Saturday, there's going to be a trip to Jefferson, Texas. If you're interested in going, please sign up in the foyer. I know that that will be a very, very enjoyable trip. Next Sunday night, there will be a youth service here. They're going to start having a youth service here once a month on Sunday night. So that is next Sunday night. And I know that it's going to be a blessing. Last month, there were a lot of you adults here, and we appreciate you coming to support our young people. Well, how many of you came today and brought a sacrifice of praise to the Lord? We are told to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise because He is so worthy. We are the creation. He is the Creator. And we were made to be worshipers of our Creator. So we're going to stand. We're going to offer Him a sacrifice of praise this morning. Lift up your voice and give Him honor and glory. We thank You, Lord. How excellent is Your name in all the earth, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Your name is to be praised. Oh, You are the mighty God. Holy and righteous is Your name, O Lord. You are the everlasting Father, the One who was and is to come. You are Alpha and Omega. This morning we lift up Your name, that precious name of Jesus Christ. Oh, that name that all power in heaven and earth is in. Oh, we bless Your name.
Hey!
Jesus, it makes me sad to look across this crowd and see many of you that are not connected. It's really sad. This is our only opportunity this week to worship and praise and lift up God. As a group, it makes me really sad to see a lot of y'all across here that are not connected when God is here to do magnificent, unbelievable, awesome things. You may be seated. This week, normally this week, NAYC, the North American Youth Congress, would have been going on in Indianapolis, Indiana, but it was canceled because of COVID. So the Texas district had a Texas Youth Convention in Lufkin, and there was probably, they had registered slightly over 4,000 kids gathered at our tabernacle in Lufkin. I watched clips of the services. It was totally, totally amazing. And so our youth, we had quite a number of them to go. Next Sunday night is Youth Sunday, and you're going to be hearing, I'm sure, a lot more about what went on. But this weekend, their youth pastor is not here because he and his wife and Kylie and Sterling had to go on vacation with their father. And so y'all, we'll catch y'all next Sunday night. But since all of y'all know that that big thing did go on in Lufkin, I wanted you to hear from just two people this morning that were there. So Andrew, he's going to come and tell you a little bit about how exciting and wonderful and anointing and inspirational it was. Were you renewed, restored, revived?
Yes, ma'am, I was. Well, it was an awesome event, and it wasn't really different from NAYC because God was there, and that's all that really mattered. We had very powerful moves. Everyone there was worshiping. Everybody was excited to worship because 30 minutes before service even started, the whole front was full. Like, it looked like we didn't have enough people to fill the seats because everybody was pushing forward to try and get as close as they could to the platform to worship and get something from God. And we even had, during the service, when he was preaching, we even had dozens of kids that would just stand there in front of the pulpit listening to him and worshiping. And I really liked Brother Mark Morgan, though. His sermon, I loved Josh Herring, but Brother Mark Morgan, I've never heard him preach before, but to me, the way he preached with wisdom. He preached along. He wasn't like a fiery preacher, but what he spoke on about giants, talking about David and how Goliath's son had taken up a new sword and had come to fight him, but his nephew came to help him, and he talked about how we, our generation, is that nephew, And we got to start taking up the mantle and helping our elders fight and not just let them fight our battles for us. And another thing that struck me in that was, he was like, David, when he knocked down Goliath, when he killed Goliath, he didn't kill him with the stone. He just knocked him down with the stone, is what the Bible said. He killed him with the sword. When you knock down your problem or your situation, you got to finish it off. And that's what he really pressed. He was like, we cannot just come have a powerful move. Yes, it's great, and that we need that. But we cannot just come to service, knock it down, and go back into the world and just let it creep back up on us. We can't keep our eyes on that problem. We got to actually kill it. We got to put it down. But I really enjoyed TYC. I am very excited to probably get and go next year. And God bless.
That's beautiful, Andrew. That's wonderful. Kylie told me that in some ways this Texas Youth Convention was even better than NAYC, because at NAYC we're all up, you can't get on the floor, you're in a tight, everybody has their own seat, and it's such a massive crowd, whereas in that tabernacle you were all on the floor, and afterwards you could meet people and fellowship and have food trucks outside and have recreation over that big pavilion. So it really turned out to be a wonderful thing. Now we're going to hear from the female side. We're going to hear from Stevie, what she has to say about the youth convention.
So I'm just going to apologize beforehand if my voice is shredded. I hope that testifies that worship was amazing the past couple of weeks if my voice is gone. And then I was like, you know what? I just won't sing as hard. Then my voice will be okay. You guys broke that promise in the first 5 seconds I was here. So thank you guys. I have enjoyed this trip so much, because this is my first trip that I got to have since, you know, COVID, because I didn't get to go to church camp. So this was my first one back. And I don't know, you miss a lot of things from COVID, and then you come back and you see all these people, but it's different, because all these people are here because they want to be with God. Like, they want to be closer. And so I was just surrounded. And like NAYC, I'm so sad we didn't get to have it. By TYC, I got to meet people that I most definitely wouldn't have got to meet because it was so smaller. And like, I just got to communicate and like fellowship. But I had an amazing time with my youth group. They were amazing and I love them so much. And all the people that got to go, I am so happy about it. So I just want to express how much I love it. And Thursday night worship blew me away, because everyone was here for a certain reason, a certain goal, and no one wanted to fake it, because you can't fake this anymore. You can't like say you want it for anybody else unless it's for yourself. And so all these people were just going and going and going, giving it all they had. And we all were. We were giving it all we had for the Lord. And it was so beautiful. It was beautiful. And I would like to share one thing that just really caught my attention in the services that we had. Because obviously, we're here because God sent us here with our purpose. And we all have a purpose, and that's people. And it's so sad, because I feel like Christianity is just targeted as this, like, religion that judges people or hates people. But in reality, it's one that loves so much. Like, the whole basis and foundation is love. And so what caught my eye most was the guy that was talking about the second treasure. And it was a morning service, so you know we were all exhausted, because that's how that thing goes. So I was paying attention, and we all were. So I feel like that says something to our youth group, that we woke up and paid attention. So I'm just putting that out there. And it was so great, because we all know the verse, and it says, don't put your treasure on earth. Don't do that. Put your treasure up in heaven. And it was talking about how before we do anything, our first treasure needs to be the Lord. Like, that has to be our first priority before anything, just the relationship with God. And then he says, get that down before you get anything else down. And I really, really liked what he said next. And he was like, but there is, being a Christian, that's not the only thing. God didn't say love only me. He was like, you got to love everybody else. And he said, now I want to talk to you about the second treasure. So our first treasure is heaven, and we just look up to heaven, and that's where we want to go. But if our treasure is people, wouldn't we want them to go with us as well? And so, like, it was crazy, and it was so great. And he was talking about how our second treasure is souls. And he was a person that someone saved his soul, because he didn't grow up in church. And so you could just see, because somebody else saved his soul, that we got to have that amazing service. So if we don't go and share, even though we're the ones that come here, if we don't like go and we don't give, because our hearts have burdens and we all have someone that we're thinking about, if it's not ourselves first. And who knows, you bring them, you talk to them, you just show them love. The next thing you know, they're preaching a morning service at a TYC for thousands of kids. And I think that's so cool. And last thing, one more quick thing I wanted to say. I know they're not here, but us as a youth group, we just got to like grow spiritually, because it's been a second since we've gotten to have this. And I know they're not here, but Stephen and Callan pushed us for everything that we could give, and they guided us, and they loved us, and they protected us, and they have been our role models for so long, even though they've been our youth pastor for a short amount of time. And they just love us so much. And I just wanted to let you guys know how much we appreciate them. And they pushed us, and they were saying, hey, we know that this isn't normal, we know that this isn't what we usually do, but we're in a place that our youth group has not been before, so obviously we're going to do things that no one has seen before. And I just want to thank them as well, because they made this trip so spiritually great. And thank you all, guys, for letting me share my story about TYC. Love you.
Thank you, Stevie. That is beautiful. That's so beautiful. My mom and dad received the Holy Ghost when I was 5 years old, and it was powerful. I have tried to pass it on to my two daughters as powerfully as it came to me. And we've all been working on passing it on to the grandkids as powerful as it came to me. But we do have a responsibility. We do. We adults. We have a responsibility. Things like this don't just happen. And we love all of y'all. We feel comfortable leaving this in your hands, because the anointing of God is upon our young people. If you will stand. If there's anything in particular that you would like to receive this morning, you're welcome to come forward and worship as we sing.
I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, it's all over
me.
Oh,
I feel the joy.
Here I am. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The Bible said he restores our youth. And I'm feeling some restoration around the city. God's on your side. He is always been on your side. And he's going to help you get through whatever those four letters represent. Some of you figured it out quicker than I wanted to spell it out. H-E-L-L. Hell hath torment. We're going to destroy hell with prayer. We're going to destroy the works of darkness and hell with worship. We are going to parade the light in this generation. Today we're going to pray for those people that are hurting both physically, emotionally, etc. We are going to pray a prayer of faith for everybody that's never received the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray a prayer of faith for every preacher in this city. We are going to undergird this community with the blood of the Lamb and the power of the resurrection. They deserve it. Somebody got to me with it. And I'm going to do everything I can to get it to them. The river of life still flowing. The glory cloud is still hovering. And the future is still bright. Let's pray for Chris Widener, Melinda Hill, Dr. Jose Gomez. And we want to pray for Earl and Lanita Unruh, Wendy Russian, Tom Herndon, Mike Pensa, Wyatt Robertson, Kay Brown, Brother Dickey, Billy and Jeremy Trinata, Brother and Sister Bob Bolton. They were here Wednesday night, and we're going to keep praying for them. Errol Dean, Tam Knight, Sam Hearn, Elias Olivio, Elijah Robinson, Sue Brooks, Kara Dean, David Stevens, Paul Abston, Gary McKinnon, Brother and Sister Proctor, and how their faith rises even though their physical body can't be here. Their faith continues to grow. Brother and Sister Bristow, Georgia McCool, Athanda Domina McDowra, and if you have a need in your body, please, Paul Schoenbarger is seeing some improvements in some areas and some extreme needs in other areas. I wish somebody would come in and stand for him that will speak to him at some point this week. If you'll come in. He was in a coma and woke up. Thank God for that. And Randy Armstrong needs a touch of God. So I'd like for somebody to come in to stand for Randy Armstrong and also to come and stand in for Brother Paul Schoenbarger. So if those two people would come quickly. All right. The Bible said where two or three agree as to touching any one thing in my name with faith, believing it shall be done of the Father, the source of all light. Now, did you have a need? Okay. So a special need for a family over in the Dallas area. Now listen, when we pray a prayer of faith, we don't go check the next minute to see if it happened. We know that the angels and the glory of the Lord began their immediate work by the people that are citizens of the name and the blood and the power of the Holy Spirit. Good and loud. Scott? Okay. Somebody else, I saw another hand go up. All right. We've got people standing in, like, for two or three men to get around each of these men. Brother Griffith is going to anoint those with oil that are come to the front. And we are going to bring the blood, the name. The Bible said when you bring the name, you bring the blood. So we're going to bring the blood through the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to agree that the angels of God are going to be dispersed to go to these in need. And we're going to pray that they hear the voice of the healer. Father, we come today because you said, call on me in the day of trouble. I will hear thee. I will answer thee. And I will come to you. We are coming today because we trust you with our minds, with our bodies, with our spirit, and forever with our future. In the name of Jesus, I pray a spirit of victory over the house. I command fear to get out of the house because the resurrection has already taken place. We are aware of the power of God over death and sickness. In the name of Jesus, all over this building, let's begin to praise the Lord for his victory that's already in place. I mean, praise him from the bottom of our heart. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Sister Denise Bell. We all love Denise so very, very much. We've all been blessed for years and years by her anointed singing. She needs a touch of God upon her body. Y'all know that she has had surgery, had her thyroid removed, and it was a malignant. And so we're going to pray for Denise in these weeks to come as she starts treatment. Also, I appreciate every prayer that you all have prayed for Anthony Trimble. He did pass away on Thursday. But God knows, we don't know. There's so many things that happen that we do not understand. But God knows, so I would like us to pray for Anthony's wife, his three little boys, and his dad, Tom, his mother, Debbie, that are really close friends of mine, and that church in St. Louis that they pastor. So can we take Denise before the throne and Anthony Trimble's family before the throne? Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bring Denise before the throne of God this morning. We're believing, God, that there's going to be healing come to her body. Oh, God, you know you are the healer of our diseases, and we're believing that her body is going to feel strength. God, we pray comfort in the heart of Anthony's family today. Oh, God, his wife, his mother, his dad, this church in St. Louis. Oh, God, let them feel your arms about them. Oh, in the name of Jesus, because in your arms, I feel protected. Oh, in his arms, never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be.
Oh, no place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. hour. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offering. This morning is our missions offering that's due. So if you support a missionary or want to give to the cause, we appreciate your giving. We're in this beautiful building this morning. It's nice and cool. It's because of you. It's because of all of you that we are here. Brother Garen, would you like to say a blessing over this offering? Yes, in Jesus' name. Many of you have found that you can depend on Jesus.
You can depend on Him
as He was yesterday.
Tomorrow He'll be the same.
You can depend. You can depend on Him.
You can depend on Jesus.
Yes, you can.
You can depend on Him
as He was yesterday.
Tomorrow He'll be.
So if Jesus were to come before this service is over, are you sure you're ready to go? He said in a moment, in the twinkling of an hour, in the twinkling of an eye, in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man's coming. COVID came to make us aware that things that are not will be as though they are. Immediately, suddenly, we found a pandemic. It should not surprise us that we are being made aware how quick things can change. The Bible said, make your calling and election sure. It's not a time to rest on your feelings about Jesus Christ. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I have written an article that's out here on the front, and we have some special pages of it available. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John develop your faith. The book of Acts is where you engage your faith. And the book of Romans through Jude is where you manage your faith. There are credentials given to us by the wisdom of men in the past, sent by anointing spirit. And the anointing is not something you just feel. The anointing brings revelation. The word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. That's straight out of the book. You don't have to do any guesswork about it. All the worry from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those men walked with Jesus for years. They validate the rational idea that he is worth believing in. But to say you believe in him is a whole lot different than obeying him. And you don't believe in a bridge till you're willing to trust your life to it. When you see people stacked up on the right side of the bridge and they're afraid to go across, they don't believe in the bridge. And when you see the Word of God going empty-hearted and empty-headed, and people want to fragment it and take the, you know, like a sort of a smorgasbord. I like spaghetti and I don't like beans. I like this truth and I don't like that truth. What is that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word's got a name. And the name of the Word is Jesus Christ. He was with God, he was God, and he is God, and he's coming back about to split the crowds. While we're here, he could come. I'm not willing for you to have a religion. I am willing for you to have Jesus Christ, and I'm going to preach him and him crucified, and you available will make him alive in your soul, mind, and heart, and God knows you and I need help now. Our kids deserve. If we brought them to a world filled with sin and we knew the hate and the crimes and all going on, and we brought them here, we owe it to them to show them a door out. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the source of life but by me. Father just means source. Any fathers here? You're responsible for those kids making sure they know where the real door is. Say, Pastor, you sound like you're really upset. I'm only upset because the devil is crowding our future. Hello. I said the devil is crowding our future. I'm here to push aside all the dark spots. All right. Oh, wow. I'm getting older. Have y'all noticed we having a party today? Did you read your bulletin? Today is Celebration Sunday. Pastor's getting older. But I want you to know we got some of y'all riding with me. Some of y'all are in front of me. So we just celebrating life, okay? I wanted to reduce it to the fact that we're all in the same ship. And we're all crossing the same ocean. And there's a lot of storm. But peace be still rings in Pastor's ears today. You're not going to threaten me with death. You're not going to threaten me with old age. I'm going to run, jump until I can't. I'm going to snow ski till I got to quit. Well, I didn't hear many amens. So you keep furnishing me the money and I'll keep going. I love you. And you know what I mean when I say I love you? One man stand up and tell me what I mean when I say I love you. I'm the only one standing, so I'll just tell you myself. I am here to give you protection and provision for Jesus' name and his power. That's what St. John 3:16 says. And 1 Timothy 3:16 is a huge asset to that complementary scripture that we've already looked at. All right, let's get into the lesson. Somebody say fireworks. The day of Pentecost was the fireworks for the Word of God when it came alive in the light and the life and the glory of man. All of a sudden, the day of Pentecost, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It set upon, somebody say, each of them. The Holy Ghost is not for your neighbor. The Holy Ghost is for you. He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. That's right. He will lead and guide you into all truth. This is the way, walk ye therein. Pointing them to the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and opened up a path of victory for every one of you to trample on everything that's coming against you and your home and your situation. I am here to tell you, he said, I will give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. And none of this is going to destroy you. I'm not joining a church. I'm joining Jesus. I'm joining a bloodline. I'm joining a power source. I'm hooking up to the energy of a resurrection. I'm hooking up, and I'm going to hook you up the best you'll let me do. Go sit down until I call you again. Isn't that guy great? Well, that was a great testimony, Brother Andrew. That's right. All right. Today, we celebrate life. I wish you'd look at your neighbor and say, you matter. Love your neighbor as yourself is a critical statement for the freedom that belongs to American Christians. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You're teaching people how you want to be treated every day. And one man said, if most of us were treated the way we teach others to treat us, we would not have many friends. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You can't do that without the love of God. There's too many people that get in my way. But he said, as much as you've done it to them, you've done it unto me. So he said, forgive them before they ask. And so when you see one of those little gray-headed ladies with a little cart coming at Walmart and she's about to push you out of the way, forgive her, because you've probably done the same thing, and the reason you're mad, you're not able to do it to her. We celebrate with extreme thrills. The Bible tells us how to praise the name of the Lord. Psalms 146, 147, 148, 149, 150. I'm telling you, all you got to do is look at the book. There's information there for your personal freedom and personal glory and the personal power that belongs. Once you begin to exhale praise unto the one who gave you the breath to do it, that's huge. We praise him for life, not because he gave us an extra raise on the job. We praise him for wisdom, not because that we have skills that we abuse. We are not to take the skills of flesh and use them for flesh only. We are supposedly learning to help every people. If you work for somebody, you praise his name by honoring their cause. And I get amazed at people that want to go to church and shout, and then they don't want to honor their neighbor as themselves. I'm not preaching to you religion. I'm preaching a Jesus that came in flesh. And he went through the graveyard and he kicked the end out of the tomb and said, follow me and I will make you what I am. I will give you life and that more abundantly. I'm not looking for a church to join. I'm looking for a Messiah that's about to split the eastern sky. And he's coming to get a people that have said, yes, sir, call and I'll answer. Lead, I'll follow. Give me the information and I'll practice it. When that Bible said, and it's in the print, many deceivers deceiving and being deceived are loose in pulpits today. You don't want to grade by how much you like the guy preaching. You want to grade him by this book. And if you don't know that book, you won't know who you're listening to. That's why you want to follow him and his teachings and go look in the book and find out if he's telling the truth, because the truth is the only thing that's going to make us free from the law of sin and death. It's not about who can do the cutest message or come up with the most influential dialogue that sounds enticing to the brain. I'm talking about a Messiah that made it simple. Repent or perish. Love your neighbor, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and God will furnish you a mentality and a power source that will leave you with glory every day you live. Christ, somebody say, in us is only the hope of glory. Getting the Holy Ghost should not be some distant, weird thing. How many of you spoke Spanish when you were born? Hello? And mamas could understand the cry. It was hungry. It was bad diaper change time. How many of you mamas can shake your head? You could tell by the cry of the kid. They couldn't speak Spanish, English, or French. And the mama said, time to change his diaper. It's hungry. The ear can pick up the voice of the Spirit. That's why you want to get the Holy Ghost. Not so you can be Pentecostal. Not so you can say you talked in tongues. The Spirit maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. The Spirit quickens your mind to the Word of God. There is a magnetic or scientific influence. When you get the Holy Ghost in you, you have a dialogue capability with the Father or the Spirit King, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. You can ask for dollars, but God knows you need a faith. You can ask for healing, but God knows you need wisdom. What to eat, what not to eat, what to imbibe into your system, what to believe, what not to believe. I wish somebody would help me today. We're going to the future. We're not hanging around history. We're learning from history. We celebrate everyone's faith. I have enjoyed many people of religious differences. I don't know what your faith, but the Bible said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. I see some people, they join a local church and think that God's just going to bend over backwards to do everything they want. Till your will aligns with his will, all things possible is not willed. Just ask your mama why she don't give you a dollar. Because the last time you spent it all on candy. And we pour dollars into places that we enjoy but don't employ. Simplicity of the gospel is something very simple. I knew that these would be small, but I didn't realize they'd be quite that small. The birth of Jesus was on this wise. How many of us are aware that his birth was prophesied where? Before he showed up there. That ought to be a signal that he's in charge. And Jesus was born. Then he lived and he died on the cross. He did not ask you to do something he did not practice. He will never do that. He will give when we don't deserve it. He gave his life before we ever got here. And we are asked to do the same. Lay down your life for this cause that is more worthy than anything you'll ever lay your life on the line for. And I am watching an American dream go down the gutter. America was born in God we trust. And now people go to church and they go steal the next man's wife if they get the chance. And the wife concedes to the next man if she gets an opportunity to maybe look a little better. Sin is sin. And sin separates us from the promises of God. Sin is not just something that is ugly on the outside. It makes ugly the home to kids that have to live in that kind of disorder. Now, if your life has been messed up, the healer is still here. Don't you go letting the devil wear you out and say, well, you did too many things. I'm going to cure that before this is over. I'm here to tell you he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. But it's according to the power that worketh in us. You say, Pastor, you're preaching hard. Eternity's forever. You're going to thank God one day that I didn't get up here and tell you little cute stories that make you thrill and want to come back and hear another joke. I am telling you truths that are going to make you free from the grave. I'm telling you truths that are going to make you free from disorder. I'm telling you truths that's going to cause you to ascend into the glory world where all power in heaven and in earth give you credibility and you're able to walk in peace and joy and power in the Holy Ghost, God leading and guiding you through a myriad of dark nights and a myriad of hurts and pains and sicknesses. I'm telling you, he's a healer and he's going to heal everybody at one time when the trumpet sounds. Everybody's going to be resurrected that's named the name of Christ and lives in the truth of Christ. I wish you'd pray for your neighbor right now. If you don't have one close, just reach your hand toward them or think toward them. Father, we're praying for everybody in this city. We're praying for everybody in this building. We're praying for the preacher. We're praying for the saints. We're praying for the sinners. We are in love with you. Hallelujah. Every year, every month, the whole world celebrates that empty tomb. When you go to count your birthday, January the what and February the what? The calendar is based on that empty tomb. B.C. and A.D. They may say they don't believe in God, but they utilize the timetable given by God. We all work off of a calendar. We all work off of a clock that represents the calendar. The simplicity of the gospel is incredibly great. God, the invisible God, the one that spoke without a body and spoke a world into existence, and he created. By him were all things created that were created, and nothing made that was not created. By him, he spoke, and life became livable for plants. He spoke, and life became livable for the sea animals or mammals or whatever. He spoke, and the heavens was populated with stars. He spoke. And the earth began to revolve around on its axis. And he's speaking today to somebody, come unto me. All your sins will be forgiven. The heavy yoke will be removed. I've put blood into this. I've put wisdom on paper for you. I have given you ministries that have introduced you at the least to a door that is able to lead you unto the wisdom of the eternal God that created the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. The sea animal creation, the water itself that's got got the ability to take your body and furnish it with energy and power to live and to have blood flowing through you. I'm telling you, He is Lord. He alone is Lord. There ought to be a river of praise for Him from everybody that understands anything about that. Thank you, God, for another chance. Thank you, God, for another breath. Thank you, God, for the wisdom of life. He is the author and the finisher of all our faith. Whatever we use it for, that's our decision. But He's going to let us have our way the rest of eternity if we don't find His way while we're in the time zone. Jesus, the light of the world, became God in flesh, that men could visibly see what they do with and to God with their works. The Bible said they opposed themselves, and in doing so, men became lovers of men and women became lovers of women, and we call that weird. But it's not quite so weird anymore. Have you noticed even the churches are actually conceding that's just the way we were born? No, we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, but we were given the chance to walk through a door to become who we were supposed to be. Don't you ever agree with that assiduous decision that women working with themselves, the unnatural use of their body, the Bible said, that women working with women and men working with men are to be a leadership for our kids, not on your life, not while I got a breath, not while I got a pulpit, not while I got a voice. No, no, no. You were created male and female, and it ought to thrill you to dress your species. I don't want to look like a fish. I don't want to look like a monkey. I want to look like a man. I want to act like a man. I want to have power to defeat the enemy that's trying to get in on my wife and on my kids. I don't want the enemy walking in my house through a TV, a movie, or whatever else and getting their mind distorted. Say, Pastor, you act like you're mad. I'm not mad at you. I'm preaching against those assiduous spirits that are trying to invade your mind, your home, your land, and your world. I am here to preach to you a truth that's going to make you holla behind. You don't have to get drunk on alcohol when you got what God gave me. You get drunk on the Holy Ghost and you begin to talk in tongues as the Spirit. It ought to be more thrilling to go to church than any ball game. It ought to be more thrilling to go to church than anything else because it's line upon line, precept upon precept. Brother Gary, we're so glad you're back. Would you mind standing? You believe I could hold him in my arms? How old are you now? When I first got here. Now you can pick me up and throw me around. Look at that. Did that all happen one night when they got a tube and blew air into you and blew food into you, or did you just eat it in there? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you eat matters. What you receive into your spiritual cranium matters, because the Bible said that there's a spirit that created every truth in that book. Somebody said, well, I just don't understand. Well, if you understood, you wouldn't need him. You're born again for a reason. You get a new spirit. When you're born again and get that new spirit, that new life begins to hunger after the world it was created by. And you can kill that appetite by trying to smother it with earthly stuff. That's what the Bible teaches. They were destroying their own future, thinking that they were more right than this one who could manage their deficits. And say they turned to the blind to try to lead them out of their torment. The Bible said blindness in part happeneth to us all. The only way blindness disappears is to let the Spirit illuminate the mind so that the mind is not corrupted by one thing. And the Bible defines that in the book of Wisdom. One dead fly. I've seen people throw away a whole plate of steak that cost $40 or $50 just because their neighbor sneezed into it. You want to let the world breathe their lies and cheap stuff into your home, into your head, into your life? Not on my life. Not while I'm here. I'm going to preach the Word of God, steadfast, an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure, able to hold you in the storm. You're exactly right. I preach with excitement. You're exactly right. I preach with demand, because I'm here to tell you that the hell that you're facing deserves somebody that's got a strong four-wheel drive that'll tie you on. A few of you have heard this, but I'm going to tell it again. Vance Havner, one of my Baptist friends, he said he had a friend that the pastor was telling them they had to come out and be separate. Well, you know real quick, that's the Independent Baptist. They had to come out and separate themselves from the world. And a board member comes to the Baptist pastor and said, "Pastor, if we're going to reach the world, we got to get down there where they are. If we're going to woo them into this, we got to go out there and live with them." Wasn't but 5 days later that the pastor's riding down the road and his board member is stuck off of the road in a storm, got in a ditch, and couldn't get out. The pastor stopped. He said, "Raymond, hang on a minute. I got a chain, and I'm going to back down there and get you out." "If you back down in here to get me out, we're going to both be stuck in the mud." He said, "Raymond, that's what you've been trying to get me to do with my church. Get them out there where the people are. I'm not going out there and I'm not coming in the ditch with you. I'm going to find a long enough rope to reach you wherever you are, and I'm going to drag you to safety because you deserve another chance." Somebody would shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. We're not letting our world go to hell. We're not letting our school system go to hell. We're not letting our church families go to hell. Not on your life. We're not going out there to join them. He said, "Stay on the straight and the narrow. Get where it's safe. Get your doctrine safe. Get your lifestyle safe. Get your thinking safe. Peace that passes understanding." My God, I feel a revival coming to America. I feel a revival coming to Lamar County. No, I'm not going to make fun of them because they're in the ditch. I was there. No, I'm not going to ridicule them because they're in the ditch. I was there. I was raised in this and got off track. You think for 1 minute, I'm going to despise them that because they're out there? Not on your life. I remember what it was like. Come home at 1 o'clock in the morning. My mother and dad's supposed to be out of town, and I'm with a friend of mine, and we've been where you know not. You could never have made the appointment like we made it. We wound up on Greenwood Road at the red light that leads to Fairfax. And guess who was at the red light at 1 o'clock in the morning? Was supposed to be staying at Grandma's house. Sitting right there at the red light. They knew Bill's car. So Roger and I told Bill, said, take us to the evangelist quarters. We can't go home. Crazy. 6 o'clock in the morning, the evangelist quarters had a guest. Somebody knocking on the door. And it was a 6'3" guy that called himself Daddy. Never forget that day as long as I live. He went in there and knelt beside the bed. After taking that 54-inch belt off, laid it beside him. And he said, you boys spanked me for not being a better daddy. Well, we wasn't about to do that because we knew he'd wake up. But we told a friend of ours about it, Jesse. And so his boys were ornery, but he didn't have the same spirit Dad had. So he took his belt off and gave it to his two boys, and they wore his rear end out. That's when the spirit speaks louder than words. And Jesse never forgave himself. You say, Pastor, what are you really trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, Jesus is here on your side. He's calling you from wherever you are. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I've already put a cross together. I've already put a new bloodline together. I've already got the government lined out. All you've got to do is obey the word of the Lord, and you're going to be in on the government that brings peace and power, glory and victory, and honesty to a home, and brings fraternity to a community. I wish somebody'd praise him. We ought not to have to go any further than right now to have a revival like we've never had in Paris, Texas. There ought to be something burning and passion in our heart right now. With only 23 minutes of preaching, there ought to be something that says, God, I refuse to go on just in a circle, just going to church and going home and going to some laborious prayer service. I'm going to pray till I touch the hem of your garment. I want virtue. I want glory. I want wisdom. I want power. I want the ability to reach my neighbor. I wish you'd pray for your neighbor right now. I may never finish this message, but God has already talked to some hearts in this house. Those of you that know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost for about 2 minutes right now. Bible said that the spirit is subject to the prophet. Go ahead right now. You're not doing wrong. If the spirit be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, go ahead and speak in heaven's language right now. Your neighbor don't need to hear what your heart's bleeding. Your neighbor don't need to know in English what your heart is bleeding right now. But the spirit itself maketh intercession with the Father, or the source of life. We're about to resurrect every church in this city to a new level of living. We're about to resurrect every home in this city to an awareness he's not in a grave. He is not in an institution. He is the Lord of the universe. Come on, that's it. Cry unto the Lord with a loud voice, the Bible said. Cry unto him with all of your heart. It's not too late. It's not too late till the bell rings. Hallelujah. There's a revival bursting loose in the soul of men and women in this house. There's a revival bursting loose in the angelic vision. The angels are just looking for a place to show their strength. All right, let's just praise his name in English for a minute. Thank you, Father. Thank you for another day. Thank you for another glory cloud. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the knowledge. Thank you for the ministry. Thank you for the heart. Thank you for my mind. Thank you for sensitivity to understand you're dealing with me. The outward appearance is very important, but not nothing like the inward appearance. An outward appearance without an inward strategy, strength, and power is like putting a big tarp over some little poles and calling it a place of safety from the storm. You got to have structure. There has got to be structure. Then you put the paint on outside to give it a little definition. But that's not going to protect your kids from the storm. Just a little dance, just a little jab, this or that or the other. No, no, no. Structure of the increase. Watch this now. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He said, my people are gone into captivity for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge is the ability to put one sentence with another sentence and another truth with another truth until you can build a temple or a tabernacle that will house the eternal God. And know you not that you are the habitation of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost works through your mind, but out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So when he says cleanse your heart, not your hands, he don't mean don't ever wash the junk off of your hands. He means take them in order. Get your heart clean and your hands will stay clean. Get your heart clean and your mouth will stay clean. Get your heart clean and your brain won't love to watch sex movies. It's late. Do you not appreciate it when the sirens go off and we know a tornado is close? They know that tornado's coming way before the sirens go off. But the sirens do go off, thank God, when the storm gets closer. And right now, this siren is going off. I'm not stopping. I'm not trying to make sure everybody comes to this building. I'm trying to make sure everybody that comes to this building gets a chance to have structure and to have power and to have victory and to have future and to have glory and a spiritual economy that can afford this. The fruit of the Spirit.
I wish about five of you men would get up right now and show your strength and say, preach it, Pastor.
Thank you. That's all. I don't need too much of that. I might get the big head. Even though I got a few people that's got pens. The tabernacle in the wilderness. Somebody has, say it's a type and a shadow of things to come. He said, I came that in me you might have life and that more abundantly. Because he said the tabernacle plan was only a foreshadowing. When you walked into the tabernacle plan, you brought a sacrifice. It was in this big gate, 30 feet wide. Anybody could get in that first gate. There was a table, an altar, brazen altar, where you brought your sacrifice. And we used to come to church putting a sacrifice on the altar. We on the way to church didn't talk about what we're going to do as soon as church is over. Cannot thank God enough for those men that stood up in those hours. That I needed somebody to keep me from having to go to the evangelist quarters again. I needed truth built into the fabric of my structure. Because you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You can talk in tongues all day, but if you don't know the truth, you're just going to have a moment that you jump in that. And you go home back to your own same ways. Truth is structure. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's not always easy to do. See that guy right behind you? He's never going to do anything intentionally to hurt you. But one of these days, y'all going to walk up and you're going to say hello. And he's busy talking and thinking it's about something else. And he's not going to say hello. And you're going to think, what's wrong with him? Could be your wife or your husband do that sort of thing. You say something to your husband, they don't say anything back to you. You walk in the door and say, honey, I need a kiss. Well, go get a bath. I'm right in the middle of your world, friend. I'm here to tell you, you are going to live forever, and you're making that choice today. You're renegotiating. He ascended on high and led captivity captive. How many resurrections do we need to know that and have faith in the one who came, and he came in as a virgin born baby, and he walked among men, and then he gave his life, and then he went into the dark dungeon of called death, and he walked out of there carrying powers and glories over principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Ladies and gentlemen, do we understand spiritual wickedness in high places? Wickedness in places where crowds gather, but they don't have to repent of their sins. They don't have to turn from their wicked ways. They don't have to turn to anything. And somebody gives them a certificate, said heaven bound. I'm not giving certificates. I'm giving you a name. I'm giving you a wisdom. I am giving you power in the word to walk uprightly. Yes, there is more. I wish somebody said, there's more. I mean, somebody, everybody like, yes, there is more. Greater things are in store. Greater things than these shall you do. I wish that row of guys right there would stand. Three, right, four, right there. Look at them. Stand up. That's it. Do you know how to make a fist like you? I'm going to hold that thing up here. You're going to be doing that a lot, particularly if you ever get married. Now, before y'all may never find anybody where it would take you on. But you better get you a backbone that's tied to your fist, and you're able to fight devils and demons, because they're pushing them on the weird atmosphere called TV, radio, and all kind of things on your phone that's coming up that's going to tempt your morals. You better find a preacher that'll preach to you the word, the biblical word of God, that will give you a structure. Bones are the structure, and in the bones are the flesh that gives the structure life and wisdom, and the lymph nodes furnish you with memory. And I'm here to tell you that greater is he that is for you than he that is against you. I'm here to tell you the bloodline is for you. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no body, there's no authority in a spirit in the situation of the spirit itself maketh rich, yes. But there is a doctrine, and the blood is in the bone, or somebody say structure. So when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that is the name that's above every name that is named in heaven and in earth. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name. I said none other name. When you get baptized, you want to get baptized in the name of authority. You want to get baptized in the name of wisdom. You want to get baptized in the name of the resurrection. You want to get baptized in the name of all power in heaven and in earth. That name has authority. wish some of you old people would get up and say amen, Pastor. I mean, stand up like we used to. Get involved. Time to show your colors, man. Yes. Yes. Come on, Pastor. You're not alone. It's a clear path. It's not hard. It's only hard when you want to introduce your ideas to his ideas and try to make wisdom furnish you earthly wisdom according to a heavenly government. Not going to happen. He said, in this world, you're blinded by your spiritual eye. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. Somebody say, subdue nations. That's powerful. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gate, and the gates shall not be shut. Does anybody know a scripture? Years ago, let's see. Would you two guys right there come help me real quick? Do y'all know how to lock arms at a distance? One of you standing right here and one of you standing right there. Now, like this. Reach over and grab his. This represents gates. Years ago, I was doing this illustration about 40 years ago, and I had a guy come running through here and break the gates open, because that's what Jesus did. He busted the gates of hell wide open. Pastor, would you get rid of this feast? I've got to go eat. The gates of hell can't prevail against the name of Jesus. That's why the writer in the book said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the only way we can get saved, is to break the gates. No, don't act like that. Hell don't turn loose of you that easy. You got to break the gates. And there's only one thing that will break the gates. And that is truth. Truth will unlock any door. That's prohibiting your passage into the land of the perfect law of freedom. Paul shows you that freedom by being locked up in a physical situation. But he sang praises to God at midnight. I can't imagine what those old Judaistic boys out there thinking. They got this guy hemmed in because they got some bars. And all of a sudden, he's talking in tongues and praising God. And those guys have no clue what he's been telling those angels. You got to come down here and get me free. You got to come here and address these old boys. They're trying to make it tough on the church. They're trying to make it rough on the family. They're trying to make it rough on our city. And they're talking in tongues. Howbeit in the spirit, we speak mysteries. For the spirit itself maketh intercession with the courtroom of heaven with pleadings and wisdoms that the brain don't even know is active. So I had this illustration all set up, and these guys, don't blame them, it's not comfortable holding another man's hand. So hang on. They used to use me like this, and I hated it too, so don't feel bad. These old boys had locked hands. And the guy I sent to go through there, they didn't let him through. So he backed up about 20 feet and took off running. And when he did, they held on, but he broke their wrist. The guy on the right went to the hospital to get fixed from the preacher. I was glad they didn't know my name. Hell is not going to turn loose easy. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. and the violent taketh it by force. You don't go and pray some little lazy prayer for your kids. No, no, no. You get your bloodline going. You get your wisdom going. God, you said you'd be with me in every trial. You said you'd give me wisdom, whether it's by somebody calling me on the phone or whether it's by a pastor preaching a message. You said you would intercede and you would help me break down the gates of power that's holding my family back from righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm not willing for my family to go to hell just because they've got to pray and fast and seek the will of God, not on your life. I'm not willing for my kids. I'm not willing for you to put tithe in my pocket and me to preach some weird sermon that you would enjoy more with the ears. This stuff is going to get you out of the grave. Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. They deserve it. I wish somebody say, His blood cleanses us. Now I want you to see this. I will go before thee, and I will make the crooked places straight. I will make the high places low, and I'll make the low places high. You know what he's saying? Now you be ready. The low places are there. There's some high places in life. No pictures. I don't want to think you got a crazy pastor. Some of them have already found out. And I'm trying to get them to thinking I'm a fairly sane guy. But when they see pictures like this, they get worried. He said, I'll make the high places low and the low places high. And I'll make the crooked places straight. What did he mean? He meant, I'll give you wisdom. They'll think you're going through hell and you'll be enjoying Jesus. They'll think you're going through a valley and all of a sudden they look at you and say, my God, he could not possibly be still talking in tongues and enjoying life and holiness and righteousness. No, he couldn't. I mean, man, his home's falling apart. No, when you got Jesus on the inside, he equivocates everything. He puts you on a path that is righteous and glorious and powerful, and you're able to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. He will raise you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. I'm not talking about joining a religion. I'm talking about walking with Jesus. I'm talking about having the Spirit of Christ where all the riches of his inheritance are alive. It's further down there than I thought. You mind if I take it easy getting down? Y'all preach me longer than I intended to preach. I want to address Matthew 28:19. Because a lot of people go there and try to twist it. And I'm going to tell you that in the Bible, he teaches you that everything you take as a doctrine must be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, that doesn't lessen the value of Matthew 28:19. He just tells us, study to show yourself approved of God. Now, don't forget it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, develop your faith. Come here, Jesus. When four people come to me, face that million-dollar plan you got. Your wife just came in the door and said, who? God's got a plan to make every one of you heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the flesh of God. That gets enormous. Okay, so wisdom teaches you to take another step. Faith gives you the ability to take that step. So Paul, giving us a little short story picture, he's locked up in a jail. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Watch this one. for making me whole. Ye are complete in him with whom we have to do. Bars didn't stop his dance. A moment of temporary financial restraint didn't stop him from loving the Lord and praising the Lord. A few domestic issues with the judge downtown and with all the others didn't stop him.
I will sing to the Lord
a new song. We don't dance because everything is right. We dance because he's worthy of our praise. And he's already got this highway ready for those people that will praise him with their whole heart. And he's already got a crew out there of angels that will deliver you if something gets in your way and impedes your progress in kingdom life. Musician Joe got to come. I don't know of any other way to slow the pastor down today. The immediate disciples. Somebody say the 12. And the mother that was so holy and godly that she could receive the seed without a man. And that's why people hate the virgin birth, because it points to the oneness of God, the Spirit that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I'm telling you, the graveyards are going to open. We have pictures of it in the Bible already. You want to make sure you're buried in the name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and ready to get out of that grave when the trumpet sounds, because the trumpet is the shout of the angels. And when you study the word trumpet, you'll understand that it's the voice of the angels, the redeemed, the immediate disciples, and his mother were responsive to the commands of Christ. All the converts that you can find anywhere in that Bible were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So don't let people play with your mind. Doesn't mean he wasn't father or source, but he was father of the trees. He was father of the earth. He was father of the air that we breathe. And by one spirit in her womb was a human that had a bloodline that was pure. How many of you know that the wisdom of life is in the blood? The wisdom for living is furnished by the blood, and you learn how to speak English or Spanish or French or cuss. You learn that. That's education. But the wisdom in the blood, you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And there's only one name that can reverse the power in the blood. And that's that blood that you saw in the top right-hand corner where the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom so you could stand up and tell that testimony. My God, look at this smile again. One more time. Wave at the people. And let me tell you something, a teenager facing all the stuff going on in the teen world can dance and shout. Us that know something about life ought to be able to dance and shout every time we bring our offering to God, to the house of God. There ought to be something going on. Our kids ought to learn. We don't have to wait for a fast song to dance. The Psalms 146, 147, 148, 149, 150 say, praise the name of the Lord. How to do it? Praise him in a dance. You don't have to wait to get caught up and act like you're drunk as a skunk. No. Praise him is a command. Praise him with a loud voice. The ball players do better than most churches.
Well, that'll nearly knock me off the bench. And then they come
Savior that God went through the graveyard, come out the other side and said, come on, I got another wet place for you too. You just follow me and I'm going to give you an oasis. I'm going to give you a power source. I'm going to give you a governmental structure. I'm going to give you a name that's above every name. And when you call on that name, angels are going to show up. This altar's open. Prayer warriors, go ahead and intercede for the next 2 minutes if you would. There's somebody here that's about to make a commitment. Total life commitment to the word of the Lord and to the power structure he has created. There's some that's going to get a renewing of the Holy Ghost before they walk out the door of this service. I promise you, you don't have anything half as important out yonder. If your dinner burns and your soul gets more, you're way ahead. You can afford to miss lunch easier. You can afford to miss Jesus. Sing it again. If you know it, would you stand and sing it with them? If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, please feel free to come to the front. Wisdom will meet you there. There is a glory cloud over this place today. Your prayers have not gone misunderstood. He understands every syllable. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, we've got the water ready. We've got the wedding gowns or the baptismal gowns ready. You can afford to miss lunch easier than you can afford to miss Christ. I wish some travailers would travail in the Holy Ghost right now. When Zion travails, sons and daughters will be born. Hallelujah. Go ahead. All over this building, if you've got the Holy Ghost, go ahead and talk to God in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait for something to sweep over you and force you to. Turn loose of earth. Oh, sing it in the Holy Ghost. I wish you'd pray for our city right now. If you don't have anything else, pray for our government. We need a revival. Every church building needs to be set on fire of the Holy Ghost. Baptists, Presbyterians, Catholics, Episcopals. There's not anybody. There's not anybody that he's not calling.
He's worthy of all.
Pray for one another if you have to right now. Husband, pray for your wives. Wives, pray for your husbands. God, give us a passion. Give us a wisdom. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, talk to one of our ushers. They'll tell you where to get everything together.
My heart will see how great is
Let's all just lift our hands and praise Him today. I think every one of us have sensed, the best I can tell, everybody in here has felt, sensed His presence. Now, there's a scripture that says, crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. All of us would prefer it a different way. I would not have had a Calvary. That would have not been my way. I would not necessarily have had the type church that I'm a part of. I don't know that I would have ever designed it that way. But since He's in charge of everything going on, I choose to submit myself to that. Because I saw Him in the face of hell walk through the furnace. And I didn't get to the last part where He ascended on high and led captivity captive. Perhaps next year we'll come back to that. Maybe even next week. I love you. Shake hands with somebody. Those of you that want to stay and pray a while, there are people that will be glad. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, I encourage you to do so.